hands. Lord God, now we make way for your word to enter in. We thank you, Lord God, that you're the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto you but by the Father, but by you. No man can enter before you, God, except they come through your Son. So today we come through the Son, Jesus Christ, and we enter in and we thank you, God. Glory and honor is due your name, not just today, but every day. And we'll forever give you the praise. Let all God's people say amen. Amen. The book of Genesis, chapter 32. Before we go in there, I want to make sure that you are ready for the word. How many are ready for the word? Amen. Come on, shout, I'm ready for the word. Genesis chapter 32, verse 24 through 29. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be no more called Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince thou hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou doest ask after my name? And he blessed him right there. The Bible says Jacob was left alone, and he wrestled with that man alone unto the breaking. How many know the word breaking means ascending of the morning? It means he wrestled until morning came. He wrestled until the sun came up. Then after he asked him his name, he said, my name's Jacob. He said, no longer will be called Jacob, but you're going to be called Israel, which simply means a prince of God. God is able to change your nature. And when I look at the word of God today, very familiar, I'm always just astounded how much we can learn from the Bible, even though we read the Bible and we know and understand certain scriptures and we read certain passages. But how many know that you're never too old to learn? And God is always teaching us something daily. And so we speak of a word. And how many know that the word has to be spoken? How should they hear without a preacher? How should he preach except he be sent? How beautiful are them that preach the gospel of peace, right? And so the word of God has to be spoken. We speak the word of God. But how many know that after the word of God is spoken, there has to be a delivery? I've got to trust in the seed and the angelic host to carry under the wind of the anointing a delivery for you. You trust in UPS, you trust in FedEx, and you trust in the United States Postal Service, but can you trust the Holy Spirit to deliver your word today? But then even greater than the delivery point, anytime a word is released and spoken, it has to be delivered, but how many know there has to be a landing point? Today, you are the landing point. Let me say it in terms you'll understand. You are the airport that has the runway ready to receive your word today. This is why the Bible said that he sent his word in Psalm 107, verse 20. He sent his word to heal us and deliver us from all destruction. You get your deliverance when you make your runway ready to receive Jesus. And I don't know about you, but I'm clearing everything else off my runway. Because I don't want nothing. I don't want a taxi in the air. I don't want to loop around another city or state when that thing is meant to come to me. Sometimes when you're early, you loop around and you're taxiing in the air. I'm like, man, we should be landed already. I done seen this thing, this building 10 times. God said, is your runway clear? Is your landing ground ready? Do you have enough room for this huge jet to land in your heart today? So I want to just go in this word today, and I do believe that God, when he works deliverance, he does it through his word. But it's the word spoken, it's the word delivered, and it's the word received. I am convinced, and I'll be convinced until Jesus comes back, that the true deliverance is through the word of God, not man. God works through man, but it is the word spoken. I can speak the word of God now. You can be delivered from whatever it is. It don't take magic tricks. It don't take hocus pocus, all man-made stuff. All it takes is you just taking the raw power of the word and speaking it. Amen. Say with me, speak the word only. Whatever needs to be healed will be healed. Amen. At least that's what the centurion said, right? Speak the word only, Jesus, and my servant shall be made whole. And so how many know we live busy lives? I was hearing that in Sunday school earlier, that everything, all these amenities that we have are supposed to make life a little easier, but it made it busier. Yeah. Come on, someone, right? Everything that we have is supposed to make it easier, but why is it not easier? Why are we busier and we got all these extra things that's supposed to make it easier? It's not. And so if you are on the run, you're going to enjoy this word today because God is going to deliver it here. How many of us face tests? Yeah. Am I in the right crowd today? Yeah. How many of us have been in tight situations and trials? You might be in one right now. And I believe that God has designed this word today that in your trial and in your tight situation, we see all the battles in front of us. We see all the situations around us. But I want to introduce something new to you today through the word of God, that it's not so much that the battles are around you and in you. It's God is saying the real battle is you. You didn't hear me today. We're on the run, we have tests, we have trials, we have situations, and we go through all these turmoil things, and we plan all these things, and God has to be like, oh, God, help me, the battle. God said, no, the battle is not with the person, it's not with your job, it's not with the government, the economy, or anyone else. The battle is actually in you today. And unless you win the battle of yourself, you cannot win a battle outside. I'm going to say that again. If you can't win the battle in your own life, you cannot win the battle on the outside. And you make preparations and you go through all these things to get ready to go out the battle. And you know what? You're anticipating something that's not even going to happen. Because the battle's inside of you. Has anyone ever gone to great extents to plan and you anticipate something happen and what you thought was going to happen never happened? You got stressed out and worried for nothing. You went through turmoil for nothing. You went through pain, all the procedures for nothing. And at the end, it found out it wasn't about no one else. It was actually about you. Tell your neighbor, you don't have any problems with other people. Your biggest problem is you. I'm going to let that marinate for a minute. You wanting to go beat them up, jack them up, deal with them. And God says, deal with yourself. You're your biggest enemy. You're your biggest obstacle. I hear the Lord saying, you've been in the way. I come to deal with you today. Say that with me. I've been in the way. Thank you, God, for coming to deal with me today. Give God a praise. Now, how many of your runway is ready for landing? Do you got a runway big enough to receive what I'm getting ready to deliver today? Because this is not one of them American Eagle little jets. These are the kind of huge jets that are meant to travel all around the world, and you can get up and move around and go upstairs, downstairs, and relax and recline. This is the kind of jet that you're going to enjoy. And so if your runway is big enough, we're going to look at our text today back in the book of Genesis. How many of you know the history of Jacob? Man, I'm going to talk about this for a minute. This works good today. And there is a history which is applicable today. Jacob was a man that was born a twin. Jacob was born a twin, came out holding the heel of his brother Esau. So already he's living up to his nature. The heel catcher. The trickster. And so now here are two sons born out of the womb of a woman, and one's coming out catching the other's heel. And it's like, what is going on here? Now I have a heel catcher born, caught, coming out. And then the next thing that happens all through life, he goes on, goes up a little bit and steals his brother's birthright. Jacob was on the plan, on the plot. I come out catching his heel because he came out first. I wanted to be first. How many know they're probably wrestling in the womb? So the fact that Jacob wrestled with a man didn't come then, he started wrestling in the womb. He didn't just pick it up on the outside. Notice this here. You don't pick things up on the outside. It's something on the inside that pre-trained you the way you are. And so he wrestled on the inside, catching the heel to come out. And when he had his moment now, he tricked his brother out of his birthright. Going a little further down, with his mother's help, he now stole the blessing. Made himself up to appear like Esau to now obtain the blessing from his father Isaac. And now he's on the run. Why? Because Esau said, I'm going to kill you. Anyone ever been mad enough you want to kill someone before? You said it, right? You didn't go through with it, I hope. But down the road now, his past caught up with him. Because he ran into a beautiful young lady. And he said, I want that one. Rachel, you look good. He met now Rachel's father because he was a man that prospered in what he does. He was prospering, man. Jacob had the Midas touch. Everything he touched turned to gold. He prospered in it because he got the blessing. I'm going somewhere today. There's something about the blessing that you need. He got the blessing and he prospered in everything he do. And Laban now begins to trick him. You want my daughter? Serve 7 years. No problem. How many know when you love someone, you will serve 7 years, right? And that seventh year came and his hopes was built up. And he said, finally, the woman of my dreams. And he lied down at night and woke up the next morning and it was the other daughter. Tell your neighbor he was tricked. The trickster got tricked. The schemer got schemed. What am I going to do now? You tricked me. Well, I tell you what, give me 7 more years and I'll give you Rachel. 7 years? No problem. That's the one I want. That's the one I'm going to do. How many know that Jacob gave another 7 years? 7 years came. He got her. But then he says, let's work some business together. That's Laban. And for another 6 years, they had a business agreement with the livestock. And how many know that Laban tricked him again? But everything Jacob seemed to touch, even the spotted animals, prospered. You didn't hear what I said. The devil can give you something bad to try to destroy you, but God can put his hand on it and turn around and bless you. And so whatever the enemy meant for bad, God is always able to turn it around for good. The Bible actually says, according to Jacob, that Laban changed his wages 10 times. But God still didn't let that hurt Jacob. How many of you have worked a job and you were supposed to get paid X amount and they changed it 10 times? Would you not get upset? Would you not pay a visit to human resources that day and say, sir, ma'am, you made a mistake on my check? Oh, no, I know I'm in the right crowd now. And I know some of you do it. You done it and you do it and you will do it continually if they get it wrong. If someone gets paid tomorrow and you were paid the wrong amount, I promise you, you will not just take it, will you? Excuse me, you shorted me this week. My check is short. Why? Why do we notice such things on our check, but sometimes we don't notice what God is saying through his word? I'll tell you why, because sometimes that money means more than anything else, and it shouldn't. But the Bible says that Jacob said, Laban, you tricked me, man. You've changed my wages 10 times. But you know what? Even your scheming against me, the schemer, God did not let it hurt me. What can you attribute to such a life? I'm going to go through this thing carefully here, because how many found out that God can bless you even when the devil messes with you? But God can also bless you even when you are not in the place you're supposed to be at yet. Come on, can I get a witness to that? God can bless you even when you are not where you are supposed to be. God still has his hand on your life. And I want to tell you how he can bless you even when you are not in the right place. Say with me, grace.
Grace.
You didn't say that loud enough. Say with me, grace.
Grace.
That's why you were blessed even though you didn't deserve it. That's why they tricked you, changed your wages on you, messed with you, did everything, and you still got blessed because of God's grace. Now, God gave me a definition of grace through these acronyms, G-R-A-C-E. I want you to write this down. This blew my mind. It's God rescuing after crazy experiences. That's grace. Has anyone ever been in a crazy experience and God rescued you? That is grace. Because you were supposed to die, but you didn't die. You were supposed to be just a lunatic, but God said, it's my grace, covering you. It's me rescuing you after. Notice, grace comes into effect after. You didn't hear what I said? After you've messed up and you thought, oh, man, that's it. And all of a sudden, what you thought was coming doesn't come to you. It's God rescuing you after your crazy experience. Has anyone here ever had a crazy experience before? And you thank God for grace to get out of it? You thank God that you on your 15th get out of jail free card. That although they only make one of the Monopoly game, you own about 15 of them. Oh, you didn't hear what I said today. Somehow you done duplicated and reprinted and got you some more. That was God's grace. God's grace is sufficient for you. That even in your weakness, his strength is made perfect in you. And so now here is Jacob getting ready to exit. I'm just giving you an update up to where we are now. Getting ready to exit his father's place. And he's taken his wives and all of his children. And I don't know about you, but Jacob had kind of a crazy family. Boy, boy, you had two wives, but you had kids by the maids of both wives. And I mean, some were by the maids, some were by the wives. I don't know who's who. Whose mama are you? This was Jacob's life. Imagine Jacob just like, Lord, help me, Jesus. I got all these kids here and all the from maid servants, from one, from mother. And like, wow. And now all these come together. And now he done prospered and said, it's time to go. Who do I bless? Who gets what? Well, let's follow along with this thing here because his new life consists of all these blessings and favor. But by the way, he got a brother who hates him. You didn't hear what I said. God blessed you, but there is someone out there that's looking for you. In the book of Genesis 27, verse 41, it says this here, and Esau hated Jacob. Why did he hate Jacob? He hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, how many of you ever talked in your heart but not your mouth? And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. When that's over, I'm getting him. When that day is over, I will slay my brother Jacob. Has anyone ever talked under their breath before? Has anyone been told to do it? And you, have we heard you? It's something about when people know you're talking under your breath because they just know you. I know, and there's someone here that grew up with a smart mouth. Is there any smart mouth people here? You don't have to raise your hand and acknowledge it. But smart mouth people, he said in his heart, I'm going to get him. And so now here is Jacob that had accumulated the wives and all the children. And now he's blessed with the livestock and he's a wealthy man and a prospering family. And yet there is a brother, a family member that's looking for him that's saying, listen, I'm going to kill you. Now there is a plan that in spite of what's going on, God said, I'm going to bless you. He had a plan that he conjured up in his own mind. Let me divide the family up. So if he gets one, I still got some. God said, I can protect all of you. You don't have to send something away just to protect something else. I'll bless all of you if that's what I want to do. And so after these plans that come to pass here, he gets to the point where his carnal plan now was intact and he's left alone at night. But how many of you know that it is not always what it seems? Tell your neighbor, things are not always what you think. Now, I don't know about you, after going through what I've gone through, I'm talking like Jacob now. After all I've been through, it's like, God knows, I'm probably reaping what I done sowed. I done tricked, I caught his heel, I got his birthright, I got the blessing, and I'm still blessed, and he's still alive, and he's looking for me. Mm-hmm. Well, how many know that Jacob had a divine encounter? And this is where I'm going at today. I just wanted to dress you up now to unpackage this and land. And I don't know about you, but there's nothing like a divine encounter with God. I'm going to say that again. There's nothing like a divine encounter with God. And I'm going to look back at Genesis 32:24. And the Bible says, and Jacob was left alone and there wrestled with a man until the breaking of day. And when left alone with God, how many know amazing things can happen? And I decree today that there are some times that you just need to be left alone with God. I know we sometimes want people in our lives to help us and attend to our needs, but there are times when I just want to be left alone. Not that I want to be a loner. I just want to be alone with God. I sing the song, it's you and me alone, God. You and me. I get to a place where it's just me and God. I don't need music. I don't need books. I don't need nothing. God, just let me get alone in my secret closet, in the secret place. Let me get alone in my hiding. I'm not hiding or running from something. I'm just hiding in you just for a moment, God. Let me get an encounter with you. Has anyone ever been alone with God and experienced an encounter like no other? There are times when God wants to just be alone with you. And I'm amazed sometimes that when we are alone with God, we drag other things into the space that God says, this is just me and you. I don't need your music. I don't need your good looks. I don't need your good ambiance. Just let me be alone with you. Don't need to drag everything in with you. It's like I'm going into the presence of God and I want to drag that sickness in with me. I'm alone with God and I want to drag that mess and problem with me. No, God said it's you and me alone. Can I just be alone with my lover today? So the Bible says that Jacob wrestled with a man. He had that close encounter of the best kind that he wrestled with the man. And I don't know about you, but this here blessed my soul because this really good always reading this. But that man was God himself manifested in the flesh. Jacob met with the Lord Jesus. Yeah. I used to think that Moses was all that because he seen the glory of God. But Jacob got to touch him. You didn't hear what I just said. You go, God. Did you praise too much to get tired? I said, Jacob got to touch God and live. Oh, my God. He got to touch the Savior. Not just hide in a cleft in the hinder part to see the glory go by, but be able to touch and hold on to him. We praise Moses. Oh, I wish I was like Moses. But what about Jacob who held on and said, I'm not going to let go until you bless me. I got you, God. It's me and you alone, God. You're not getting out of here until something happens, God. I'm touching you. I'm here. And how many know that even when you wrestle with, how do you know it was God? Well, I'm telling you right now, the Lord said, let me go because the daybreak, you're going to see who I am. When the light come, you're going to know it's me. As long as we're wrestling in the dark, you think you're just wrestling another man. This is not another man. This is the man. This is the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ who is coming to save his people from a damnation. And he said, it's daybreak, man. You got to let go of me. Nope. How do I know it was the Lord Jesus Christ? God himself manifested in the flesh because Jacob built the place and he named it Peniel, which means I've seen the face of God. You didn't hear what I said, which means I've seen the face of God. I've seen the face of God and he lived. He's seen the face of God. So I know that that wasn't an angel. I know that that wasn't just an ordinary man. Because that man had the power to touch his hip and cause it to go out of place. He allowed Jacob to have supernatural strength to prevail with him. He allowed Jacob to hold on and wrestle with him all night. Has anyone ever wrestled before? Wrestling is a hard sport. Especially when you got the sweat of someone else all on you. Breathing all on you, laying all on you, trying to pin you down, and you're wrestling. And here is Jacob, was infused with power from God to wrestle. I don't know about you, but God has some different plans for Jacob than he thought. You're not just wrestling with me and prevailing because you're all that. To show you even further that he wrestled with him, he touched his socket of his hip and put it out of place. And Jacob said, that's okay. I'll limp and hold on. I don't know about you, but I've had to pray sometimes injured. I've had to make it to the house of God sometimes in pain. I've had to endure a week of pain and of problems and of strife. I've had to limp sometimes. I've had to crawl sometimes. I've had to just reach up and pull myself up sometimes. But I refused to give up because I knew that there was something greater on the other side if I just held on to God. I'm going to throw you a new curve. There's nothing wrong with an injured praise. Because if you've been abused, if you've been hurt, nothing wrong with an injured praise. Nothing wrong with praising God through your infirmity, through your sickness, through your pain, through your disease, through your broken bone, through your out-of-socket joint. There's nothing wrong. At least you're praising God. At least you're worshiping God. At least you got enough to know that He is for me. Who can be against me? This pain is not going to stop me from praising God today. This situation is not going to stop me from getting my blessing today. It's not going to stop me today. That's why I started out. How many of us go through life and we got some problems and tough situations and we make all these plans? Well, I can't come today because I got a headache. You better praise God with your headache. Well, I can't come today because my thumb is out of joint. Well, you better come on. You better put it in a sling and praise God. You better do what you got to do. Don't you stop serving and praising God. Sometimes we let go too soon. And I believe we're letting go because we think the day is changing. But even though the day changed, Jacob said, I'm still not letting go. You didn't hear what I said. It's time to let go because the date changed. No, I don't care if the date changes or not. I'll hold every single day until God does what He's supposed to do with me. And so even if I'm injured, even if you're tired, some of you are tired right now because you ran and jumped around. I tell you right now that if I turned on praise and I asked you to praise God, you better jump up and praise God like a wild person. You don't let tiredness stop you from praising God. Don't let your job stop you from praising God. If you can show up for work in below zero and 5 feet of snow, then you can show up for church and give God some praise. I heard the word this morning. I'll let nothing separate me from the love of God. Not an injury, not a problem, not a man, not a situation, not a job. Nothing is going to separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Jacob knew enough that said, man, even in my sickness and injury, I know that there is a plot to do something better in my life than what's going on right now. Come on, and Jacob had this plan that he had these times where, I don't know about you, that he had, I'm going to do this thing here, I'm going to wrestle all night because tomorrow I got to face Esau. I'm going to wrestle all night because tomorrow I got to face the boss man. I'm going to wrestle all night. I'm going to pray and fast all night because tomorrow I got to go to the doctor and deal with this situation. I'm going to do all that. There are some times that you need to hold on until God says it's time. Yeah. You didn't hear what I said. Sometimes you need to hold on, even though it looks crazy holding on to what you're holding on to. This was an all-night match. This was an all-day thing that he was wrestling. But you know this in your heart today that you've got to have the resolve to hold on. How many got resolve today? I'm not talking about carpet cleaner. I'm talking about stick-to-itness. Hold on. I got resolve to get the job done. Resolve takes care of those tough stains. Resolve in God takes care of those tough problems. We got to have resolve to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and believe Him. And so that divine encounter now was a match for a reason. Here is Jacob sent his family away, and he's alone with God. And he's got the incredible task of facing a man that hates his guts and wants to kill him on tomorrow. But you're wrestling with God the night before. Obviously, he didn't get no sleep. Has anyone ever had sleepless nights before? You toss and you turn. You were wrestling. You were wrestling. God was saying, this is a match. I'm doing something here. And you're saying, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what is going to go on. But he didn't let go, the Bible said, until he said, I won't let go till you bless me. Sometimes you got to fight through the injury. Christians are the most sometimes softest people because you injure them and they're ready to quit. You injure them, I'm going to a different church. You injure them, I'm ready to just pack up bag and move to another country. To another city. It's time to get tough skin, Christians. Because if you're going to wrestle with God and prevail, that means you're going to have to go through some things. Even when you're injured, you got to learn how to praise God. Even when you're injured, even when your feeling has been hurt, you got to learn how to praise God. Even when your toes have been stepped on, you got to learn how to praise God. Even when you don't, oh my God, I'm just stuck right here. I'm like an old record needle stuck right here. Even when you misunderstood, you got to praise God. Even when you ostracize and set aside, you still got to praise God. Even when you know that someone doesn't like you, you still got to come and praise God. Even when the cards are stacked up against you, you still got to show up with a smile on your face and praise in your heart and give it unto God. You can't go home and lie and die. God does not want you to die. He wants you to live. I was reading that this week. The Bible says you shall live and not die and show forth the signs of salvation of Jesus Christ. You can't die. I'm not a weak Christian. Amen. You injure me, I'm going to praise. Amen. You hurt me, I'm going to stand up and do more. Amen. You talk about me, I'm going to become even more crazier in God. It doesn't matter what you think about me. All that matters is I'm not going to let go of God until he blesses my soul. I'm not looking for you to bless me. God is the blesser. God is the way maker. God is the miracle worker. God is the one working through this situation now. I'm not trusting man. What can man do unto me? This body is going to the ground anyway. You kill the flesh, my spirit is going to live. You kill me, you're doing me a favor. Because you can deal with the problems on this earth. You can deal with the sicknesses on this earth. You can deal with the poverty on this earth. I'm headed straight to heaven. To be absent from the body is to be present immediately with the Lord. And so you can deal with all the stuff in the world, and I'll be praising God forevermore. You go ahead, Jesus. Do it again, Jesus. Let's dance again, Jesus. Let's do it again, Holy Spirit. I can see you now as you are. We base decisions sometimes on what people think of us. Sometimes we base what we do based on who's going to be there and who's going to see and pat us on the back and thank you for doing it. Sometimes we want things for the wrong reasons, and God said, are you willing to just show up because I'm God? Are you going to show up for prayer because I'm God? Are you going to show up for worship because I'm God? Are you show up for your job, for your boss? Are you going to show up for church because he's God? Are you going to show up for your brother and sister because you love them? I just want to show up and be at the place, and sometimes you got to fight through your injury. There are too many injured saints sitting down. I'm going to say that again because I need more support than that. There are too many injured Christians sitting down. They feel like they're useless because they got an injury. I've watched many athletes play with broken bones. You didn't hear what I said today. I watch many athletes play with sprained ankles and torn ligament. I watch many athletes go through all the pain just to make it through the game. How come Christians cannot have that same resolve? Even though we injure, we're still not going to get out of the game. Come on, someone. I'm not forfeiting because I'm hurt. If I got a limp, I'm going to praise God. If I got one hand, I'm going to praise God. It doesn't matter. Whatever I'm going through, I've still got to praise God. I don't care if you think you're going to win, because God knows how to put his super on my natural. And when I look like I got one leg and one arm, God said, I'll be your arm today. And I'll be your other leg today. And you can leap through troops and leap over walls through my strength. You didn't hear what I said today. You can do it because God gives you the power to do it. Amen. Tell your neighbor, I might be injured, but I'm still giving God praise. Jacob came to the place where he realized the same thing that Solomon did when he wrote in Proverbs 10 and 22. He wrote this word. He said, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. And he addeth no sorrow with it. I believe that Jacob was on that roll. I need the blessing. You didn't hear what I said. I need the blessing more than I need air. I need the blessing more than I need clothes. I need the blessing more than I need money. I need the blessing more than I need protection. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. You were poor, but it's going to make you something you weren't. Oh, I got, man, my head is getting ready to explode today with revelation. But I've learned that my tenacity has to be greater than what I'm going through. My desire has to be greater than my problem. I want the blessing. How many want the blessing today? Because, see, Solomon wrote it. He said, the blessing of the Lord. How many want the blessing? See, I love this because he didn't say blessings. All I need is one blessing. Oh, you didn't hear what I said. Well, God, I need this, I need that. No, just give me the blessing. Just bless me indeed. It maketh rich, and there's no sorrow. It says, he addeth no sorrow. If somebody is adding sorrow, then it's not a blessing. If someone is adding their 2 cents to it, it's not a blessing. If someone thinks that they can pay you for it, it's not a blessing. If someone thinks they did it, it's not a blessing. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. There is something about the blessing of the Lord. It makes you even fight for it. Man, I feel like preaching today. It makes you want to wrestle for it. It makes you want to go through all night, broken hip, out of joint hip, broken leg. It's something about getting the blessing. I want people that want the blessing more than they want money. I want people that want the blessing more than they want a house or a home or a car or a job. If you get the blessing, it adds with it no sorrow. So your house is coming with it. Your job is coming with it. Your bank account is coming with it. Your joy is coming. Everything is coming with the blessing. It makes you happy. The blessing. Oh, man, I got something for you today. How many know the blessing is greater than what you're going through right now? The blessing is greater than your situation right now. And the Lord showed me something about the blessing. And see, what I found out is the definition. My definition of the blessing is means to be well off. But here's what the Lord showed me. The blessing means to secure one's future. That's why Jacob said, I want the blessing, because my present, sometimes people want blessing for the present. I want the blessing so my future, my generations coming after me are secure. I want everything to be set in place. This is what Jacob was saying here. People want stuff right now. Get me out of this jam right now. Heal me right now so I can get out of the hospital, God. Take the pain away right now. No, God, bless me and the generation after me is healed. Bless me and the generation after me has homes and cars and jobs and blessings and favor. It's not about the right now. It's about securing your future. You better study Jacob, because Jacob had 12 sons, and because he got the blessing, the future of those 12 was secure. Do you understand? If your parents got the blessing, your future is secure. If they didn't, you better go like Jacob and wrestle all night and get the blessing so the generation comes after you is secure. There are so many insecure futures in our world. It's because they're living life without the blessing. Because the blessing, it maketh rich, it addeth no sorrow. See, I know what comes along with the blessing. Come on, tell your neighbor, I know what comes along with the blessing. It not only blesses you spiritually, but it blesses you naturally. That means that you can sow things now and receive the blessing, and you can secure the future of your sons and daughters. You didn't hear what I said. You can secure everything about their lot in life. You can even secure who they marry down the road. I thought I'd get your attention. You don't want no boojacks at your family reunion, do you? You don't want no drunk showing up at your family reunion, do you? You don't want folks high showing up messing up stuff, do you, huh? Well, you can secure your future by receiving the blessing today. That's how important it is that Jacob said, I want the blessing. You didn't hear what I said? I want the blessing, because there is a future in the blessing. Oh, man. Your future's not in money. Your future's in the blessing. Your future's not on your job. Your future's in the blessing. And so I got to move on here. But in this encounter, it really was not what Jacob really intended for it to be. Jacob had up in his mind that tomorrow morning I'm wrestling with God, and God, you're going to do something for me. I want you to bless me. I've got to go, and I've got to face a brother that hates me on tomorrow. And so how many understand that sometimes it's not what you always think it's going to be? I want to submit this to you today, because I feel now the decline. I feel like someone's runway is ready for me to land, and I want to make sure it's landing in the right place. Amen? Come on, tell me, are your runways ready today? Yes. All right. It's not about what God needed to do for him against Esau. It was about what God needed to do for him about himself. This is why the Lord asked him his name. What's your name? He said, my name is Jacob, heel catcher, schemer, trickster. You didn't hear what I said today. I said, heel catcher, schemer, trickster. God said, I heard you the first time, but no longer is your name Jacob. Today, your name is called a prince of God. Israel. He's changing your position from a slave to royalty. You hear what I said today? God. He's changing your position. The Lord showed me here. The moment you acknowledge who you are, you give God immediate permission to change you and who you're supposed to be. I'm going to say it again. The moment you acknowledge who you really are, if I'm a wretched sinner undone and Jesus, I want you, you're immediately given permission to change you into who you're supposed to be. Jacob acknowledged who he am. I am a schemer. I am a trickster. I'm a hustler. I'm a manipulator. I'm jacked up. I'm messed up. I know I can't do nothing else. Thank you, Jacob. Now I could change you. Has anyone ever admitted who they are before? Stop walking around phony with the facade. We know you are lied. We know you cheated. We know you've done homemonging. But the moment you acknowledge who you are, God now says, I'll change you. You can continue to do the sin, but the moment you say, God, it's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer, I'm not blaming it on my mother, I'm not blaming it on my father, I'm not blaming it on my upbringing, I need help. You got to acknowledge your sin. You got to acknowledge your shortcomings. You got to acknowledge your frailties. You got to acknowledge what you don't know and what you don't have. You don't impress me by wearing knockoffs. And if you really got it, you don't want to show it. So you might as well acknowledge you don't got no job. You might as well acknowledge you don't have no money. God, I am nothing without you. God said, thank you. You finally got to the point now that it's not about who hates you. It's not about the Esau who wants to kill you. It's not about the world who's against you. It was you. Have you ever looked in the mirror and said, oh, God, it's me. I lied. I cheated. I schemed. That's why God said, what's your name? Jacob, if he would have said, I'm anointed of God. No, you're not. The only reason you're here is because I gave you strength to prevail with me. You didn't hear what I said today. He gave you time to wrestle, to make up your mind. While you were wrestling at night, you were making up your mind. You were thinking about going back and turning around. You were wrestling with that decision. God said, I'm going to give you time. I'm going to give you strength now. We're going to wrestle with this thing. And in the morning, I'm going to ask you your name. You're going to realize all night it wasn't you that was fighting. It was my power in you. It was my anointing in you. And so now your name is now royalty. I'm getting ready to bless you real good. I ain't got there yet. You think you're excited now. But this message is not about what someone is meaning to do against you. Its whole premise is about what God wants to do for you. We make plans against people, but God's saying your worst enemy is you. You're expecting catastrophe tomorrow. You're expecting to be fired tomorrow. You're expecting for someone to kill your Esau to kill you tomorrow. That's not going to happen. See, that's why you're wrestling with God sometimes, because God is saying, in the midst of you worrying about tomorrow, you better deal with yourself today. Yeah. Does anyone ever deal with himself? Because the more that you look at people and forget about you, the more obvious the one is that need the help. Yes, it's true. You spend a lot of time, and I've seen people, they blame their mother, they blame their father, they blame their friend, they blame everyone else. But when was the last time you said, I messed up? I did them wrong. I hurt their feelings. I schemed. This is Jacob talking through his life. I did all of that. But the end result is, I know I'm Jacob, but God, I'm not going to let go until you change me. I'm not going to let go until I get a different name other than what they know me by. They know me as the schemer, but God, you know me as a prince. That's why Jacob said, I can't let go now. I'm going to wrestle with you all night. And then he had the nerve to say, what's your name? You don't need to know my name, because I was sent to change you. God is a God that changes not. You already know me, because when I leave, my spirit is going to cause you to name it. I've seen the face of God. Now, here's the point. Anytime you see the real face of God, you will change. You see a person not changing? It's because they haven't really been in the presence. Oh, you didn't hear what I said today. There are many people that fake the presence. They fake it through music. They fake it through smooth words. They fake it through ambiance. They fake it through lighting. They fake it through strange fire. They fake it through all these things. But when you really find the presence, it's not someone else that needs the change. It's actually you that needs the change. And so what I found out is our prayer life should actually reflect the same principle. Why should I pray against someone else? God, you touch them. God, you deliver them. God, you handle them. And God is saying, I'm not worried about them. I'm not worried about it. I'm worried about you. I'm changing you. Prayer changes you first. That's why sometimes God said, if you got to wrestle with me all night in prayer, it's because I'm not trying to change your situation. I'm trying to change you. I'm not trying to change the person's heart against you. I'm trying to change you. They can have the same attitude, but when you wake up, how about when you knew? Jacob said, I'm not going to let go till you bless me. I've got a hold on you. And I'm not letting go. And I feel the Lord saying today, don't let go now. Because you're closer now than you've ever been before. And you're asking God to touch someone else's life and heal someone else. God, I need you to work with them. But now I'm asking you to be like Jacob. God, change me. Well, I want my wife to be more like this. I want my husband to be more like that. I want him all like, no, how about you get where you're supposed to be first and God will place you right where you need to be. I don't want everything else to change and I remain the same, saints. Because I can't appreciate and enjoy what God has done if I'm still the same old man. And when God changes you into a new man, you have a new praise on the inside of you. When God changes you into a new person, your language even changes. Your demeanor changes. Your countenance changes. You don't react to things that used to get you before. You're not down and set in your ways. And you act like, oh, God, when you do something. No, when God really changes you, it will make you do something. Some people say, well, I don't praise God like all that. Baby, when God really changes you, you don't understand what you have the potential to do. I never knew I had that in me. God knew you had it in you. Just like he knew what was in Jacob. God put it there. And God said in the midnight hour, Jacob, I'm coming to get a deposit on what I put inside of you. Your name is no longer Jacob, but you are a prince. Now I want you to rise up in royalty now and take your 12 sons and let's begin some tribes. Take your 12 sons and let's begin now to really lay out the land because I have a place I need you to be and each of your sons represent my hand of anointing. Has anyone ever prevailed in prayer before? And you were believing God. God, why are you not answering this prayer? Why is this same thing still going on, although I've prayed over and over again, and it seemed like the situation is not changing? I'll tell you why. In many cases, God was changing you. We've asked God to change people in our households and the atmosphere. We've even asked God to change our government, our world, our cities, haven't we? Our regions. Can I give you a news flash? He can't do that until we change. How many are willing to change today? I'm very serious about that. There's something in all of us that needs to change for God to get his glory out of our life. And whenever we get to the point where we're good and we don't need to make any changes, I guess we're ready to do your eulogy. James chapter 5 verse 16 says this, and I'm finished. Confess your faults one to another. Confess your faults one to another. No, they're going to talk about me. No, I don't know. I can't trust everybody. You know them church folks sometime, man. They talk behind your back. They do all this and that and do all that. Listen, pray for one another. You know who's for you and who's against you. He says, pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. How many want to prevail today? Because the word of the Lord today is, it's not always what you think. Jacob expected an encounter the next day with Esau, and he was prepared to offer him all this, and they end up running to each other and falling at each other and kissing each other. Amen, someone. So he spent all night tussling. And God said, I'm glad you wrestled with me because I changed your heart. You didn't see him as the enemy, although you were afraid. I worked on him and you didn't even know it. Do you hear what I said? God works on someone else and you don't even know it. I want you to stand with me today. I want to submit something in a moment to you. Because I believe this life of Jacob and what I taught you today needs to become your prayer life. The blessing is greater than anything else in your life. Say with me, the blessing secures my future. Why do you think Abraham blessed Isaac? Isaac in turn blessed Jacob, which he thought was Esau. Jacob in turn blessed Manasseh and Ephraim. Because he knew what he was doing. If you've ever prayed before and you wonder why you didn't win and you failed and it didn't get right, I want to show you the first thing. How to prevail in prayer and win. How to hold on. Have the right motive. You write these down because I'm not reading the scriptures. How do I prevail in prayer and win? How do I hold on and not let go until you bless me? The first of all, you got to have the right motive in your heart. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. It also says, let not that man think he's going to receive anything of the Lord. If you're going to pray, pray with the right motive. It's not about God changing other people. It's about God changing you. The second thing you got to do, deal with the sin in your life. Deal with the sin in your life. God, I need you to do this, but you got to be willing to change what you're doing. Number three, forgive. If you've got to stop your praise and say, you know what? I'm sorry. I had something against you. I need to get this thing right. I'm going to lay my gift at the altar, and I want to be reconciled with you. I don't want nothing to hinder me. Make sure you forgive. See, Jacob was trying to get this thing right. I got to let this go. God was changing him. You got to let this go between you and Esau. Because I cannot do with you what I need to do until this thing with Esau is resolved. Number four, be reconciled, people. When you forgive, don't act like you want to be around your Christians no more. Be reconciled now. Well, I forgive them, but I don't want to hang around no more. Stop that. You need each other. You need each other. Well, I don't know. I understand we got to work on trust, but don't isolate yourself. Be reconciled. Come together again. God blesses those that are reconciled together. One more. Establish the right relationships. If you want your prayers to prevail and get the victory, you got to have a winning team. These things matter in your life. Jacob, you got a messed up team. Two wives, children from maidservants, 12 sons, got a daughter, got all these people in your life. And sometimes some would think, man, that's a dysfunctional family. Can I give you a real, real picture of the Bible? The Bible is about dysfunctional people made functional for him. When you get the right relationships, it don't matter if you've got a lot of baby father, mama drama and all this and that. Once you come to Christ, you got a winning team. Let's win now. Let's win now. That, my friends, is a formula for success. That's going to cause you to get the blessing. That's going to cause you that when you have to wrestle all night and you wake up the next day, you're going to prevail. God is saying, I need prayer warriors. I don't just need warriors. I need prayer warriors. God is specific in this hour. I need those whose motives are right. I need those who really have dealt and are dealing with their life. I forgive. I reconcile. I establish right relationships. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, we pray in the atmosphere that if there is a Jacob that stands right now, they've been wrestling. Even injured, they've wrestled. But today they've come to a place where you're changing their name. We prevail in prayer. We prevail by holding on. God, as we hold on with our motives pure and right before you. We hold on, God, having dealt and dealing with the sins of our life. We let go, we forgive. We reconcile with man. And we thank you today, God, that we are secure in you because we have the right people in our lives. Today we thank you that as we fought, we won. We held on. We didn't let go. So we bless your people today for the acknowledgement of who they are to become who you want them to be. So in Jesus' name now, we seal this with the precious Holy Spirit and the blood. And we call it done. In Jesus' name. Amen. Is there a sinner or backslider today? Is there an unsaved individual?